Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets.
That's right. Mets back at it today. Thanks, John, Peter, and Don. Getting things started on this Tuesday, June 28th, 2022. Donald Marco LaGreca, how are you feeling?
Oh, very. What a beautiful day. It's a top 10 day.
Oh, I meant to open. You know what? I got to go open my blinds here. I wanted to have my blinds open and the windows open throughout the show today. That's how gorgeous it is outside.
Every once in a while, I'll say we should do the show outside. And this is definitely one of those days.
Oh, today, you know what? I'm sorry. Yes, I'm going to stand up right now and open my window. You're just going to have to deal with this empty seat.
I love outside.
Because I need to do it, Don. You're absolutely right.
No, it's really a nice day, zero humidity, puffy cumulus clouds up in a clear blue sky.
Puffy and cumulus. Wow.
Yes. Love
now,
it.
Now, Don, also a lot going on in the world of sports. We had a huge story break at the end of the show. This is why you have to listen for 4 hours. I mean, it's not only Don and I spending an hour fighting about the length of a proper wedding speech, but beyond that, you never know what news is going to come down. And late in the show yesterday, we learned that Kyrie Irving opted in to his deal with the Nets. So we're going to get into that in a second. But first, Don, Yankees just do what the Yankees do. Come from behind victory again last night against Oakland.
23. Come from behind victory so far this year. And it's kind of a weird stat because you fall behind 1-0 in the first inning, win the game. It's technically a come from behind victory. But, you know, they spotted the A's a 5-1 lead. And then eventually this offense is just too good and they're going to expose the best of bullpens and then eventually win the game. The A's are in full-blown rebuild. Take a look at the stats. Every single offensive category, they're last or second to last in baseball. So the Yankees did what they were supposed to do and continue to put pressure on everybody else in the American League to try to keep up. So this is a team you're supposed to beat, but doesn't matter the deficit, they'll find a way to come back and win. So not a surprise at all by the result of that. Rizzo continues to rake despite his .221 batting average, but we talked about that yesterday. Doesn't matter. He's hitting home runs. Montgomery looked okay. Not a great start for him, for sure. Get falling behind and, you know, giving up the big hit that they're showing here on Yes to open things up early in the contest. But, you know, overall, they're really not too much to complain about. And the summer of Yankees continues, especially at home. The little blip with the two games against the Astros, but again, right back to their winning ways. Stanton goes yard. It's just fun to be a Yankee fan right now.
I mean, it's just, Don, it's every day the level of confidence you have that this team's going to get theirs. I mean, if you were watching yesterday, you know, they're down early and you just kind of know, chip, chip, chip. You know, the second they're down 5-1, when you look up an inning later, Don, it's already 5-3. And then once they're there, you feel good about what this team can do. And, of course, what they do is tack on another six in the bottom of the seventh, and the Yankees have their 23rd come-from-behind victory. And you're feeling very, very good. And even though it wasn't a fantastic performance for Jordan Montgomery, who gave up six hits and five runs, he settled down. They only used two pitchers. It was just Montgomery and Abreu. So you're able to save some length for the rest of the series, and you get a win.
We can't get into, well, it's only the A's. I'm sorry. Major League Baseball is crap right now as far as the teams. There's like a handful of teams that are really good. So you can only play who's on your schedule, and you beat them. And for a Yankee team that had to settle for wild card appearances the last couple of years because of the inability to beat the Orioles like a drum, you can't get crazy about beating up on the Oakland A's. That's who's on your schedule. You know, and the Red Sox and the Rays have the same opportunity to beat the Oakland A's the same amount of times. Houston gets the A's even more because they're in the same division as they are. So no apologies for it. Just beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat up on, and this team is going to cruise to a division title, and then we'll be able – the audition will be over, and now we'll see what they can do in the postseason. And I just I was just out of curiosity, I just wanted to get your thoughts, and of course Yankee fans can chime in too. Is the 23 come-from-behind wins something you look at and say, see, this proves how good they are? This proves how there's that never-say-die attitude, they're never out of a game, just exactly what you want to see out of a championship team. Or is it playing with fire? Because I can tell you, you don't want to be spotting playoff teams in the postseason 5-1 leads early in games.
Oh, Don.
So how, I'm kind of curious, how do you look at it? Because I think you can really look at it either way.
It's such a great point. 1-800-919-3776. And listen, even as we get into this Kyrie and KD stuff, we'll keep the Yankees on the table all day. So feel free to call. We have to find our curmudgeon caller of the day, of course. We found multiple yesterday. But, Don, it's such a great point because you love the ability to come back and to hit in clutch situations. We've talked ad nauseum about just how clutch Judge has been this year in particular. Mm-hmm. With the walk-offs and just the clutch gene that so far this team has shown, but you're so right, it becomes so much harder. That 5-1 deficit against a team much better than the Oakland A's in October feels significantly different. And it is very difficult to make up runs like that in playoff games. So it's a really half-full, half-empty kind of situation.
Yeah, it is. Now, listen, they had two of their come-from-behind victories were against the Astros, certainly a team they're going to have to get through to get to the World Series. So we're not saying you can't do it. They've proven they can do it against pretty much anybody. I'm just a Yankee fans, and let's give them credit, they look at things differently than a lot of other sports fans do because they love their team and they hold it to a higher standard than I think anybody else holds their favorite team to. So I'm kind of curious how they look at that stat because I saw it with the Rangers. Rangers had the second most come-from-behind victories last year, and from a Ranger perspective, that was looked upon as a positive until all of a sudden it wasn't. You know, so and all of a sudden it wasn't is not what this Yankee franchise and fan base want to have to deal with. They want to see a parade down the canyon of heroes, and anything less of that is going to be considered a colossal failure, especially if they have historic win totals like it looks like they're going to this year. So just thought I'd throw that out. When I saw that stat, I was immediately impressed, and then I kind of kicked into analyst mode and started to dissect it a little bit. So I'm sure Yankee fans are doing the same thing.
So we'll hear from you guys throughout the day as the Yankees get ready for the A's again tonight. Mets in action as well. We'll get to all of that, but let's dive, Don, back into what we learned at the end of the show yesterday about Kyrie. Let's hear from Woj on what exactly transpired with Kyrie coming back to the Nets.
Kyrie Irving was not able to land either an extension with the Nets or a sign-and-trade deal elsewhere in the NBA, specifically with the Lakers, that would have allowed him to get the long-term max dollars that he wanted. And so short of following through on his threat to sign the $6 million mid-level exception with the Lakers, which he could have done if he opted out of his deal, he went back to Brooklyn on that 36.5 player option, really had exhausted all of his leverage, and returns to Brooklyn now with the possibility of free agency next summer.
Let's keep diving into this a little bit further. And Woj went on to say, what does Kyrie opting in mean for Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant was very loyal to Kyrie Irving through this process and certainly, you know, wanted to create the idea that if Kyrie Irving walked, that Kevin Durant might ask for a trade. But in the end, you know, the leveraging on Irving's side just didn't allow for him to get, you know, the kind of new deal he wanted. And so now Kevin Durant has what he did want, which was Kyrie Irving back on the Nets this season. So the expectation right now is that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving will move forward.
And lastly, Tim Bontemps on with Greeny earlier talking about the best case scenario for the Brooklyn Nets.
Who knows where this will go from here? Because as I've said a bunch of times, any question that involves Kyrie Irving, the only true answer is maybe in any direction, right? You just don't know where it's going to go. But this is what the Nets wanted. Kyrie Irving on a short-term commitment to be on the team next year. That means Kevin Durant's on the team next year. That means this team has a championship roster. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but they've got a team that's capable of contending for a title with Kevin Durant, with Kyrie Irving, with Ben Simmons, with the pieces they have around them, and frankly, with some options to go get some more help around them this offseason. So to me, this is really the best case scenario for the Nets.
I got to tell you, Don, I think if yesterday, if you're a Nets fan, you went from feeling like, and I'm curious to hear from Nets fans throughout the day, like you're thinking this whole thing's over. Like it's a complete failure. You got within a whisker of the conference finals, but then this year you were swept in the first round and it's all going to be for nothing. And now, Don, in the blink of an eye, you're able to start dreaming, if you're a Nets fan, that you're going to have an incredibly motivated Kyrie Irving trying to seek a new contract, who wants to show up to work, no vaccine mandate, able to play. I feel like, Don, it may have been one of the great all-time reversals in terms of the feeling you have as a fan base.
And that's who I feel for, because the Net fans deserve to see their team win a championship. It's been a long time. They've never seen it. Didn't see it in New Jersey. You got to go back to the ABA days. So in New Jersey and in Brooklyn, they haven't been able to see a championship. And we really thought that when the Big Three got together, we would see many and still have not seen one. And now the Big Three has changed because now it's Simmons and not Harden. And now, didn't I say all at the end of last season when Harden went to Philadelphia? Don't judge that deal right away because it still could pay dividends down the road. So if they can get Simmons to play at the level that he's expected to play, that deal still could work out for the Nets, trading Harden to Philadelphia. Because now you've got the Big Three, and it's Simmons, who's 7 years younger than Harden, right? And you got an engaged KD who wants to win. Now Curry's got his after KD. He needs to get his after Curry. And now Kyrie, who's going to be playing for a contract, Kyrie might be putting up numbers the way Judge is in baseball. Could be a similar situation, playing for a contract, betting on himself. So all that coming together, if I'm a Net fan, I'm feeling like I've got an excellent chance to go out there and win a championship. And whatever happens at the end of it, who cares, right? I mean, you'd love to see Kyrie stay, try to work something out beyond this upcoming season. But, Peter, if they win the championship, then getting in bed with Kyrie worked. Making the deal for Harden worked, especially if Simmons contributes to it. So that's who I feel good for. You know, the KDs and the Kyries and their legacies, I don't care. From a team sport perspective, I'd love to see the Net fans get their championship. And whatever happens at the end of the rainbow happens. But they've got an excellent chance to do it.
It's a great point. And listen, I'm just going to be real as can be. I like Kyrie and KD as human beings. I think they've both made it very hard to really root for them just as players.
This is going to be a hateable team outside of Brooklyn and maybe New Jersey. Outside the Nets fan base, who's rooting for this team?
I mean, now listen, Don, the bandwagon will start if they get off to a 17-3 start, right? You'll start to see people change their tune if they perform, but
I don't know.
I'm not saying they'd be a beloved team.
I mean, but listen.
But if they're dominant in New York and you're getting the best version of both of them and they're playing every day, people forget, Don. Winning. A great man named Michael Kay often says winning's the great deodorizer.
I get it, but still, they're going to be hated by, what, more than half the city who are Knicks fans.
Yes, that's not
all right. And Kyrie's, I'm sorry, he's just not likable. He might be a good guy, and I love all his philanthropy and all the things that he puts into it, but he's not. He's a tool. The way he conducted himself, the way he made it seem like he had a list of places, like he had nowhere else to go. And then with his tweets, he's just not likable. He's not.
I need someone out there. I need a Kyrie defender to call me up today and defend the quote from yesterday. Quote, "Normal people keep the world going. But those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall." Kyrie, you opted in to get paid $36 million to play basketball. Come back to us.
You're not that
Please
important.
Come back.
You're not that important.
Oh, my Lord.
No, come on, seriously, you're a basketball player, all right? And you might be a good guy, and certainly you've got a lot of other things on the table that you try to help. But again, him playing for the net, it doesn't move the needle for the nation with everything that's going on in the world, good and bad. Not enough people could care where he was going to play basketball.
It just doesn't impact anything.
No, it doesn't impact anything except his bottom line of getting $33 million. And now KD, just waiting to see where the wind was going to blow. Now he's going to be Mr. Net because Kyrie's coming back. And if Kyrie had left, he'd be planning his exit strategy. And I don't know if anybody really cares about Simmons as far as the way he's kind of conducted himself. The mental illness aside, he doesn't come across as likable because of the fact he doesn't play. There seems to be a bunch of excuses, and you just saw the reaction from people in Philadelphia. They're three very unlikable guys right now. Tremendous basketball players, great human beings, but right now, they're just, I can't imagine a lot of people outside of Net fans rooting for them to do well. Because if everything, because everything you're talking about, if they win the championship, Peter, it falls right into Kyrie. He'll parlay it into a monster contract. And guess what's going to happen once he signs that monster contract? Go right back to everything that was happening before.
Right.
So, hey, personal feelings aside, you cannot tell me outside of somebody, that grew up, going to school with an Armand Gilliam jersey on, is going to feel like that they're going to be rooting for the Nets to win.
I don't know if they're going to be less popular this year than they were last year.
Less popular.
More popular. I don't know how strong. I agree with you, though. I don't see them becoming a national favorite. Let me tell you, they're not becoming the Golden State Warriors. That's not happening.
Well, most people are turned off by super teams to begin with. So they got that against them. I can't imagine a lot of people. I mean, Kyrie's got his fans for sure, but I think he's got way more detractors than he has supporters. Because there's always going to be that guy that is going to support Kyrie. And nobody's begrudging him to get his. He's a fabulous basketball player. But he did not conduct himself well. And, and KD, he wasn't popular, he went to Golden State. And it comes across very weird that he's got this attachment to Kyrie when he's the better player, or at least supposed to be.
And, guys, let's not forget, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Peter and Don getting things started here on a Monday. Let's go to the phones and get to the people on all of these subjects. 1-800-919-3776. We'll start out Yankees with Jimmy in Connecticut. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys, what's going on? So, Don, you actually touched on my point, and I think you hit it right on the head. The Yankees this year reminded me so much of the Rangers from this year because of the way they keep crawling back at these games when they fall behind. But I also have a question, and I'll let you guys talk. If Aaron Judge wins a World Series for the Yankees and Igor Shesterkin wins a cup for the Rangers, who's going to be the more beloved player in New York City? I'll see you guys at the beach match on Friday. I'll be down there, so
wait.
Listen, I love hockey. You know that.
I know what Don's going to say here.
But
I
mean, come on.
I mean, Shesterkin would have to not only win the Stanley Cup, but after the Stanley Cup, while being filmed on television, he'd have to run into a burning building and save 400 kittens, okay, to even get into the conversation with Aaron Judge.
Well, that's the thing, is that, listen, Mark Messier has been able to put himself in maybe the Mount Rushmore of sports figures in New York because of slaying the dragon and winning in 94. So, again, I'm not being disrespectful to hockey. Everybody knows how much I love it. I don't think there's a person on the planet that loves it more than me. Maybe equal to me, but not more than me. But we're talking about a Russian Ranger as opposed to Aaron Judge, the all-American boy playing for, of all teams, the New York Yankees.
I wish you loved the sport like I do.
Let me put it this way to you. Igor Shesterkin can win a cup for the Rangers. He'll never be in the debate as the face of the sport. Judge is the face of baseball now. Way more recognizable than Trout or Harper or Machado or Soto. And he hadn't even won yet. Goes out there and wins a championship. We're talking icon status here. Icon status.
Yeah, guys, we said this yesterday. We don't even know where Aaron Judge ends up landing in the pantheon of Yankee greatness. Because if he were to keep going the direction he's going and they were to win rings, guys, he could end up in the let's go back to the wedding. We were talking about weddings a lot yesterday, Don. He could end up in table one at the Yankee great wedding still.
If he keeps up like... No, seriously, if he keeps up like this.
Let's say the table has 9 seats. I'm telling you right now, Aaron Judge finishes out the next 6 years playing this way, and they win 3 championships. He could be sitting at table one. So, yeah, it's tough for anyone to compare.
If he wins, and it's not... It's really hard to win championships as opposed to it was 20, 30 years ago, all right? But, the Yankees won 5 championships in 4 championships in 5 years, and then Jeter got the 5th one in 2009. So Jeter is all about the rings. If Judge gets a couple of rings, he's right there with Derek. And that sounds sacrilegious to a certain aged Yankee fan who's like, oh, you can't touch Derek Jeter. This guy can because he's a monster, and he's hitting home runs. And he's putting up numbers and having a season that nobody could ever dream of. And he's a tremendous guy. It's just like there's nothing that can say that Peter, when this is all said and done, he's at that head table.
That is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Eric in Manhattan. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey there.
Okay, so I'm a huge Nets fan, and all I can say is yesterday was one of the craziest whirlwind of emotions I've had as a Nets fan. I remember exactly where I was the day that Woj tweet went out, that the Nets were making a clean sweep, picking up Durant and Irving, and yesterday truly felt like that may be over. Obviously, I was waiting optimistically for it to not be like that, but the thoughts were running through my head that this is literally all over, and I do not know what I'm going to do as a Nets fan. I would probably give up being a basketball fan because they would be in a total rebuild. Instead, now we have Kyrie motivated, like you guys said. We're getting back Joe Harris. We're getting back Ben Simmons, hopefully. The Nets are true contenders. It's just pretty unbelievable what would have happened if Kyrie decided to, whatever that stupid media report was, that he would sign the $6 million mid-level exemption with the Lakers. Like, if he actually did that, it would only be a matter of time for KD to pass out, and it would probably be in the Nets' best interest to trade him at that point.
Because they're not a championship team. I agree.
They would. They would get back the greatest haul probably in NBA history. And, I mean, regardless of what they got back, we would go back to like the super dark days. So
It would be starting over.
It's crazy how now we're like, sorry.
Eric, in the snap of a finger, you went from rebuild to possibly competing for a championship.
Right.
In the snap of a finger. And that's no exaggeration.
I was messaging in a WhatsApp group that I'm in with Nets fans, and we were all just saying how like we hate Kyrie now, this, that, because he's doing this. But we all said the second he does re-sign or opts in, that can go away immediately. And literally the second he signed, someone wrote few and we were good. Like, the Nets now can win a championship somehow, and they can for maybe 3 or 4 years, who knows. So it's just pretty unbelievable. I was literally ready to become a free agent and pick a team. I didn't know what to do.
Now you know exactly what to do, and I'm happy for you. See, I'm happy for a guy like Eric who's a diehard Net fan, because it all changed in a snap of a finger.
Thank you, Eric.
And that is, it's almost like they just, like acquiring KD and Kyrie.
Yeah, because they were gone. It felt like they were gone. Let's get into today's starting lineup, brought to you by Nissan. You ready for some New York Mets? Donald?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Astros, 7-10, City Field, go.
Here we go. Nimmo leading off, playing center. Marte batting second, playing right. Francisco Lindor, the shortstop, batting third. Pete Alonso batting cleanup at first. J.D. Davis, the DH at fifth. Eduardo Escobar, or as Don calls him, Edgardo, playing third and batting sixth. Mark Canha?
Yeah.
Seventh. And playing left. Jeff McNeil playing second, batting eighth. James McCann catching and closing things out. And, of course, you know who's on the hill.
Give me a little cookie.
That's right. Carlos Cookie Carrasco on the hill for the Mets. And that is today's starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Next, your phone calls on any subject you want to touch. A lot of Yankees, a lot of Kyrie Irving, Peter and Don on the K Show on a beautiful day on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Met news if you're interested, Peter.
Oh, Donald, please give me Met news.
Anthony DeComo just tweeted, Max Scherzer's rehab start tonight has been postponed. No reason yet, but he's scheduled to throw tomorrow instead for Binghamton at Hartford. So, doesn't look like it's anything involving Max or injury, otherwise he wouldn't be able to pitch tomorrow. So no reason given. Doesn't look like weather would be a factor either. But so if you were hoping that he would pitch 5 days from today, well, it looks like it's going to be 5 days from tomorrow if he's going to be back in the bigs because his rehab won't be until Wednesday at Hartford.
Okay, we are talking Kyrie Irving. We are talking New York Yankees. We're talking New York Mets. And let's do some around the bases brought to you by Nissan. And go to Brent in Louisiana. Nice. We don't get a lot of Louisiana. What's up, Brent?
Oh, good, man. I've been trying to get through forever. Me and my mom love your show. We watch it every day.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate that. What do you got for us?
And I was wondering, Don, my mom, we saw the pictures of your twins, too, and they're very cute. But what I wanted to say was, do you think when a player plays for his contract, after they get the money, it seems like their attitude changes and they don't play as hard as they were playing when they was playing for to get the big contract? What's your opinion on that?
It is interesting when you talk about a player playing for his contract. Isn't it suggesting that he's giving a little bit more because of the deal and suggesting that once he gets the deal, that motivation is gone? So do I think that Judge or Kyrie will just give up and rest on the laurels? No, especially Judge. I mean, he's got no history of doing that. But it is interesting if you are going to admit that playing for a contract sends you to a different level, then aren't you also suggesting that once you reach that level that you might dial it down? It's an interesting point, Brett. I mean, I never thought of it that way. But, Peter, I guess that's what you're kind of saying.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's weird because, Don, doesn't it sort of go back to the conversation we always have about people say athletes don't need bulletin board material. But then somehow that bulletin board material can make an impact. It's like it's on a much broader scale. You would think the effort level's always there. And maybe for some people it always is. But there are certain people, Don, who I think need their back up against the wall to perform.
Yeah, so it's kind of a conundrum, right? Because how do you get around that? If you're going to suggest there's another level to get to and he got there because of his contract, well, if Judge signs a 10-year contract, is he going to just go back to fourth gear instead of going to fifth gear or sixth gear to get the deal? Now, there comes pressure with the deal. So maybe that I don't think Judge cares, okay? So he's having a monster season. He bet on himself, but I have every reason to believe, especially the pressure Yankee fans will put on him and the pressure of wearing that uniform, he's going to give 100% every chance that he plays. Kyrie might be a bit of a different story because he's got a history of not necessarily doing that. Outside of the injuries, there's no history of the Judge doesn't give a try every single time. But the way Brent kind of presented it is interesting. Could you dial it down once you get what you want?
Now, do you think Brett, being from Louisiana, do you think he's a fan of Cajun Don?
See, I didn't know. I was going to bring that up, but I could see maybe there'd be offense.
I hope not, but he seemed to be a fan of yours. Take us back, if you don't mind, Anthony, to a little something we like to call Cajun Don. Doesn't come out all the time. But
Tom Brady going to win.
I'm sorry?
Welcome on. Go there, touchdown.
You know what? I could see this being something that we have to retire.
Tom Brady going to win. All the time they're going to get Tom Brady. Go Tom Brady going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't want Tom Brady to go to the Super Bowl. I don't want to get the defense. I don't want to win.
You're saying it's not going to age well.
I can see that.
I mean, all I'm basing it off of just to give myself a break here, because you're kind of putting me into a corner here, and I'm starting to feel bad.
Never put Donnie in a corner.
No, but I also don't want there to be some, you know, something placed on me that maybe isn't deserving, or maybe it is. I don't know. But everything that I'm getting is from Joe Dirt and the Waterboy, and it's the same character.
Same character.
Right. So I'm not getting that from any time I spent in New Orleans and being there with the Louisiana people.
No.
Basing that off of, and I forget the actor's name. Andrew could probably look it up, because it's the same actor that plays the part in Joe Dirt and then plays it in The Waterboy. And really, it's more from the one in Joe Dirt. Home and where you'll make it.
It's so good. All right.
Are you talking about Farmer Fran?
Yes, it's the same actor.
I'll find his name. I think it's Blake Clark.
Yeah,
wow.
He's in a ton of Adam Sandler movies, but he happened to be in Joe Dirt. I don't know if Adam Sandler had anything to do, if he was a producer on that movie.
Happy Madison might have been on Joe Dirt. I can't remember.
But that's what I'm basing it off of. So if you're going to make me a bad guy, then Adam Sandler was a worse guy than me. He started this whole thing, okay? Because that, Peter, that's all I'm basing it off of, is that character.
Happy
Home
Madison.
Home way you make it.
Happy Madison absolutely did Joe Dirt.
Okay, so
it all comes together. Hey, by the way, that's today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com.
Diggity boo woo. It's believing. Even Cajun Don was done with all the love and affection.
Oh, I can hear it. I can hear the love. Let's go to Mike in Orlando, who wants to do the impossible. Mike is going to attempt to defend the Kyrie Irving quote from yesterday. Mike, the floor is yours.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I love this. Go ahead, Mike.
Firstly, Peter, congratulations. You deserve your engagement. Hopefully,
thanks, man.
Best to you guys moving forward.
Thank you, man.
So, Kyrie, my guy Kyrie. So, first off, I'm a huge, huge Nets fan. Kyrie just happened to be my favorite player before coming to the Nets. So this week has been week, month, year have all been – not really what we've been looking forward to. But in terms of the tweet, he's tweeting, and obviously he's a weird guy. He's definitely strange. He's tweeting about being different and not doing what normal people do. He's not referring to taking the money. He's referring to everything before opting into the contract, why he's in this position. Normal people would have just done everything the way normal people do it. But Kyrie, looking at himself the way he looks at himself, the reason he's in this position is because he's gone and done different things that humanity, society doesn't do. That's what he's saying, because people have been making fun of him all day. And you can make fun of what he's saying, but he's not talking about signing into the contract.
I agree. It's not – Mike, I think you did a great job. It's an excellent defense you made for your guy. But even though I agree with that is what he's trying to say, it's just like Kyrie just – how old are you, Mike?
I am 28.
You're 28, so you're around the same age. Kyrie, to me, is just a young man who is figuring things out and acts as if he's figured it all out. And right. it just gets annoying. As a 42-year-old who really realized I didn't know anything until, like, my late 30s, I have a real issue. And I listen, I may have been the same way back on the radio when I was your age and 30 years
Ray
old.
Rowe.
Just saying crazy things all the time and being self-assured. Sometimes, like, it just gets to be a bit self-righteous. You can just learn a little from the people around you.
If you're right, and if Mike's right, that's what we're going with, then I would think 50-year-old Kyrie will look back and cringe.
Oh, I've been saying that. I can't wait to meet older Kyrie.
Just because we chalk this up to immaturity, taking yourself way too seriously. And obviously, here's the problem. In life, let's say Kyrie was a Hollywood actor, he would probably have people around him to make sure he didn't do that. But sometimes with athletes, it seems like they surround themselves with yes people that don't tell them, you're sounding like a tool, don't do that. I know PR directors are supposed to help with the teams, but let's face it, if coaches and general managers have zero power, you think PR directors can do anything to stop Kyrie from tweeting or saying something silly? But he doesn't have anybody around him to say, come on, what are you doing? That comes across as just so arrogant and selfish and stupid that I hope a mature Kyrie down the road will look back and go, I was just immature and there was nobody to help me out.
Like for example, Kyrie, you know, even if you love and laud all of the things he stood for over the last year, right? Like, you loved his vaccine stance, you loved everything he did. Even with that said, did yesterday require him making a statement about essentially how much of a martyr he is? Like, why couldn't the news of yesterday just been Kyrie Irving signing with the Brooklyn Nets? And by the way, I mean, if you want to go a step further, have a press conference where you come out and you happily talk about it and say you really think that you guys have an exciting future, you want to finish what you started, and when people bring up the past, you go, hey, that was before, happy we're past that, let's get it. That would be the best case scenario. But at the very least, could you just lay out?
I just think normal people. We know you're not normal. We know that you're special. We get it. You're a professional athlete. But signing a contract, playing basketball, in the grand scheme of things, it's not. And the caller can talk all he wants. You talk about other things. When it happens on the day that you get that money and you go back to the Nets, that's what you're talking about. This wasn't after something special he did away from basketball. This is on the day he decided to opt back in. So that's what he's talking about. Let's be honest.
And the path
that he took was trying to get out the door, finding out there were no takers, and having to go back to the Nets. So let's not make it seem like he did even the Nets any kind of favors. This was his only option.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think any of us believe he wanted to be here.
No, he exhausted every option. That's why if he had just kept his mouth shut and didn't give a list, then we'd at least have the possibility of this is what he wanted to do all along. He wanted to stay here. But because of coming up with the list and the way he conducted himself, now it comes across like, listen, he exhausted every obstacle, and now he's got to go back to the Nets. Oh, and boo-hoo for him. Going back to the Nets means he's got an excellent chance to win a championship and pockets over $33
million. over $35
million. Yeah, over $35 million. So, you know, no sacrifices were made here.
Let's take a quick break. Come back with more of your phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. We still have to dig more into the Yankees, too. And is 23 comeback victories the sign of something great or something problematic? Peter and Don on the Kay Show on a Tuesday on 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know you've been waiting for it all day. I'm talking about Rest Roulette, the Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Don, your prediction.
I mean, it's tough to say with Kiner Falefa and with Torres being hurt, so I think I saw Kiner Falefa is going to play. I don't think Torres is. So I don't know who would then be resting. Torres being out, I don't know.
Want to take a guess?
Hicks.
Let's see. Leading off, playing second, DJ LeMahieu. DHing batting second, Aaron Judge. The first baseman batting third is Anthony Rizzo. Josh Donaldson batting cleanup, playing third. Trevino catching fifth. Hicks playing center, batting sixth. Kiner Falefa playing short, batting seventh. Marwin Gonzalez playing left, batting eighth. Joey Gallo batting ninth, playing right. Sears on the hill.
So Hicks is in. Gallo is in as well.
That's right. No Giancarlo today.
No Giancarlo.
And that's today's Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Now, to that Stephen A. audio from Twitter earlier about Kyrie opting in. Let's hear from Stephen A.
Did you see it? I saw the news. I know you saw the news. Oh, Kyrie Irving, you opted in after all. Took that money, didn't you? 1 year deal, y'all. 1 year, $36.9 million. Exercises his player option. So what does that mean? To y'all, it means Kyrie's going to be a Brooklyn Net. You know what it means to me? I guess he's a peon too, huh? So you got to go to work. You got to show up to work. You actually got to go to work. You got to go up there and earn that money. You got to show up to work. Because even if you plan on leaving the Brooklyn Nets, because we all know that Kyrie doesn't plan on staying in Brooklyn for the full year, he's offended, he's appalled, he's put back by the fact that the Brooklyn Nets actually said you have to show up to earn your money. We know that offends him. We know that offends him. So you're thinking, hey, guess what? I'm going to get the hell up out of here. Philly somewhere, they willing to give me a 3-year guaranteed deal. The Clippers could get their hands on me. They want me. Maybe I could get to the Los Angeles Clippers. Who knows? Maybe somehow, some way, the Los Angeles Lakers will be able to work out a sign and trade. Guess what, Kyrie? No matter what options you may think you have down the road, it all starts with you having to show up to work first.
And Stephen then continued about how Kyrie needs to start showing up.
You show up to work, then you got a future where you're going to make your money. You don't show up to work, you're stuck. Because even if somebody wants you, they're still going to require that you show up to work, which means those long-term commitments, that guaranteed 4 years over $200 million that was waiting for you, ain't going to work that way. According to Kyrie, anybody in that position pretty much is a peon. Funny how karma works, doesn't it? Guess he's a peon too, just like the rest of us. See you in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Thoughts, Donald?
There's a lot there. I agree with Kyrie. I don't know a lot of 50-year-olds that talk that like that either.
Well, so, Stephen is.
But that's more of a compliment than anything to Stephen, because he is quite the entertainer for sure. Don't you think that once he gets the contract, he can go back to what he was doing? He was going to have to work this year anyway. If he went, Peter, and took the $6 million to go to Los Angeles to play with the Lakers, he wasn't going to be able to mail it in there. If he got the sign and trade, I guess that'd be a different story, because then he would have the long-term contract. But yeah, he's going to have to work his tail off to get that deal. He's not going to be able to take nights off. He's not going to be able to disappear for weeks at a time and not feel like playing. To be able to get that, you would think, not get that contract. So, you know, Steven's right. Now, he went about it in a very aggressive way, so I can understand that a little off-putting for Kyrie. But
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well,
I mean, it was aggressive, and he's saying you got to show up to work now.
And it was entertaining.
But Stephen echoes how a lot of people felt when Kyrie had a way about talking about people that made people sound like they're peons, especially people in the media, especially people like Stephen. So while it is aggressive, we can't act as if, listen, just because Stephen A. is more demonstrative doesn't make him more obnoxious than Kyrie. Just because he's loud and performative and a professional entertainer doesn't mean that he's more disrespectful than some of the things that Kyrie said about the media.
Right, because he is going to have to work for his supper. I mean, if he wants to get a big-time contract, he is going to have to work his tail off like everybody else in the world trying to get theirs.
And
he can't rest on his laurels. Now, here's the...
I see how people could think that makes Steven a bad guy, but really I see it as him being sort of a defender of the regular person.
Yeah.
Which is, yes, Stephen A. is rich. Let's just all be honest, right? Who you're getting this message from. Stephen A. Smith is a rich man. He's richer than all of us.
Yeah.
All of us who work at this station. Okay? He also may work more than all of us. He never stops. You know, say what you will. There's not a day when Stephen A., he takes his vacation a couple weeks a year.
Right.
But by and large, every day that man's up early and doing every hit that comes his way. So I think he does resent when he feels talked down to for being a working member of the media.
But this is where I think the issue is the problem. And I kind of brought this up with Matt before, is that Kyrie doesn't think he's missing time because he doesn't care. Right? So he doesn't agree with Steven that he's just mailing it in. He's telling you that when I'm not playing, there are major reasons for that. Yeah, I could have taken the vaccine. I didn't think it was the right thing to do. It wasn't that I missed those home games because I didn't care. They wouldn't let me play because I felt that something was more important than basketball. That doesn't make me a bad guy. I'm not sitting around being lazy. I'm not sitting around doing nothing. It may look at us as like he's just being distracted. He doesn't care about basketball. He's looking at it as, I'm sorry if there are things that are more important than basketball. Sorry if that makes me a bad guy. That's why it's difficult to argue with Kyrie, because Kyrie doesn't think he's being lazy. Kyrie doesn't think he's mailing it in.
Right.
Kyrie believes that he's kind of above being a basketball player, that he's kind of a jack of all trades where things come and he takes them as they come. And then sometimes, whether it's social justice, whether it's the vaccine, other things get in the way. You may look at it as him not caring about basketball, but he looks at it as, I'm sorry, I'm just a really good person that wants to take care of other things. How do you argue with somebody like that? Like, Steven's taking the point as, hey, you're going to have to go out there and play north of 70 games, break your butt to go out there and get the contract. Kyrie's thinking, I do that every day anyway, but I just don't do it the way you think I should. And there's the line. So how are you supposed to come to an impasse? How are you supposed to come to some sort of a resolution when you're arguing, when the impasse is that it's two people looking at things completely different?
Right. Well, that's why it would be good if they would talk. You know, and like, Kyrie sees people like Steven as totally his adversary and people who want him to fail. And I understand how at this point he could feel that way, because once you're deep into a thing with someone, you kind of lose sight of certain pieces of it. But, like, I wish Kyrie could get to the stage of being able to hear some of the criticism right. that's said. And that's not easy. You know, I can only think about myself. It's not easy to hear criticism. I had a situation last week, Don. I put up this tweet, a sort of inflammatory thing. A lot of people came after me for it. And I saw someone sent me a video that a younger sort of hip-hop blogger had put up talking about what I said. And, my gut naturally at first was to be defensive. But then my friend said the reason he sent it to me was because he thought there were some valuable things in there for me to learn about the way how what I said was being viewed. And it's awkward at first because you're offended by the nature of someone kind of coming at you. But if you can try to put it aside and hear them, maybe you won't ever be best friends with Stephen A. Smith if you're Kyrie Irving, but you may be able to sharpen your sword a little bit and become a little bit more of an effective communicator by listening to some of the things that he's saying. And not just Stephen A.
But here's the difference. There are a lot of people that listen to this program that hate your guts. And the reason that they don't like you because of your opinion. There's not one person that hates you that could ever come at you and say that you don't work your tail off to be where you are. That's never in question. They may have a problem with your politics. They may have a problem with your views on sports or politics or anything else. But the one thing they can't say is, you don't show up. You don't care. This is not a disagreement on Kyrie's politics. This isn't a disagreement on looking at things differently. This is a athlete that does not seem to give his all. Kyrie doesn't look at it that way. So how do you come to some sort of resolution? It's, you know, it's not like when you sit down and debate, it would debate on, or was it right for you to take the vaccine or not? That's not the debate. Well, how many times did we point that out during the course of shows all of last year? That wasn't the debate. The debate is he's unavailable to play. How do I give a contract to a guy that's not available to play in half the games? That sometimes puts other things, as credible as they are and as important as they are, putting it above basketball. And if I'm a basketball owner and a general manager, how do I give money to somebody that does not appear to be fully committed, even if the things he walks away from are very righteous and the right thing to do? How do you convince somebody of that? That's the issue. That's the problem. So I don't know if Stephen A. and Kyrie can ever come to terms with that.
I hear you. It is a fundamental difference. Let's go to Big J.
And when Matt Sullivan was our guest in the previous segment, that he believes athletes should run the show.
Right.
But in what world does the person that runs the show always the most talented person? Does an actor also get to direct the film?
Sometimes,
no, if he's capable
rarely.
Of doing it, as talented as Stephen A. Smith is he his own boss at ESPN, or does he have people he has to answer to? There's always going to be somebody to tell you what to do. I'm sorry, that's the way the world works. Even the president has to answer to Congress. There's always going to be somebody you're going to have to answer to. I don't care how great an athlete, actor, musician you are.
No,
even
listen, if you stop making money from them, you don't have to. Kyrie could very easily not have anyone he has to listen to. He has enough money now. He has
right.
He has more than bleep you money. He has bleep you, bleep off, and go bleep yourself money, okay? If he wants to sit home and not be told to work, he can do that. But you're right. If you're working, even if you're the talent that everyone wants, there are still people to answer to because they're handing you a boatload of cash.
Right.
Because, that's just the nature of the beast.
You know, because even, you know, Justin Bieber's got to answer to whoever hires him to go perform. Like, he's got to be there at a certain time to be able to get his money. So, yeah, he's already controlled. Like, I'll get whoever can coach me, go play for whatever I want. But at some point, you got to answer to somebody. I don't care what world it is, how talented you are. There isn't anybody in the world that's getting paid by someone that can just do whatever they want to do.
Phone lines absolutely jammed on this and the Yankees. We'll get to your calls next. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K Show.
Matt Sullivan.
Kyrie and the Nets draft have had kind of like three distinct phases over his three seasons at Brooklyn. You got phase one, he delivers KD on a silver platter even though KD's out. And Kyrie also completely disappears on the team then for weeks at a time. And still, Joe Tsai, the owner, says, at the time at least, that you cannot treat players as employees, that superstars are your partners in the business. And Sean Marks is a suck-up phase. And then you've got phase two, which is really Kyrie jumping the shark last year. I've been told in that kind of phase two that the Nets were picking up the phone, at least, about getting Kyrie potentially off the team. And then we're still, I think, in phase three. I broke the news for Rolling Stone that Kyrie was going to protest the city's vaccine mandate and really, like, boycott his own team, the Nets fans, ticket holders. And I think Guy did not pay $3.5 billion for Kyrie's ego to ruin his investment.
The Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I don't know what to say.
What's that?
I'm at a loss.
Oh, really?
No one I'm doing the show with has ever heard the terminology for Tyson Holyfield 2 to be called the bite fight.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't understand the con. You sent me a text.
Right. I said, do you find it weird that he'd never heard? Okay, I see what you're saying. I didn't give it any context.
Yeah. So I didn't know
I'm
what
saying,
you were talking
I said
about.
To Andrew, I said to Andrew earlier, hey, for ENN, can you get the audio from the bite fight? And he said, I don't know what that is. And I said,
well,
you never heard of the bite fight? And then eventually he said, do you mean Holyfield Tyson? And I said, yes.
What else?
25 years ago today.
Wow. 25 years ago today.
Right.
That's definitely where were you event.
That's what we'll do in ENN is the level of where were you. But I find it weird and surprising that Andrew never heard the term the bite fight. Am I too close to it, Don? Or is that what it's known as?
I guess he just wasn't, like, maybe just focused on, you know, but I don't know what else you would think. even if you never really heard it referred to as that, what else could you possibly think it is?
Well, and eventually I did say that.
Yeah.
He did. He eventually got there. And it did come out of nowhere if you didn't know today was the day. But, yeah, June 28th, 1997, just a few weeks after my high school graduation. Ugh, we'll relive it during ENA.
Yeah, because I want to relive that.
Yeah, no. It's if you either remember the Bite Fight moment for you, or if you're someone who was too young and you don't know, you got to listen to ENN because, oh, it was such a moment in time. Now, let's talk about the New York Knickerbockers. By the way, 5:30, Buster Olney joining us to talk some really interesting facets and nuance of the Aaron Judge contract situation.
See you guys.
That's right. Thank you, Buster. So we'll get into that with Buster Olney, who, by the way, Buster Olney, who defeated Mike Tyson for the championship in Tokyo in 1990, Don.
What?
According to Michael.
Sorry. Let's hear from, this is interesting. Let's go back to May 27th. Mark Cuban was on Bally Sports Southwest talking about the Mavericks keeping Jalen Brunson.
How confident are you about being able to retain Jalen Brunson as part of this team?
We can pay him more than anybody, you know, and I think he wants to stay, and that's most important. You know, I think, again, J. Kidd has a big part to play in that. You know, I think JB blossomed as a player as much as anybody on the squad. I mean, you know, from where he was last year to how far he came this year is a tribute to Jalen and how hard he worked.
Now, of course, the Knicks thought to be very interested in Brunson, and the word is it's going to take 4 years, $100 million to get Jalen Brunson. Now, how good is Brunson? It depends what stats you look at, but he was really good for Dallas without Doncic last year.
Mm-hmm.
In the 17 games Doncic missed last season, this is according to Kevin Pelton's article on ESPN.com today, he averaged 20 points and 7.5 assists, and Dallas went 8-9 during the regular season without Doncic. He was very solid with Doncic on the floor. His assists nearly doubled without Doncic on the floor. So, Don, I guess I ask you and anyone out there, Knicks fans, is 4 years, $100 million just entirely too much and scares you off of it? Or is it like biting the bullet and saying, hey, we want to get a real point guard. We're very confident this guy will be a real point guard. And it's worth the money to spend.
It's a lot. They still have to make room for it.
How close are they?
Well, I guess it's a matter of whether they can shed the salary or get Dallas to figure something out. So Tim McMahon says, at this point, it's widely anticipated that Jalen Brunson will go to the Knicks, 4 years, $100 million. It remains to be seen how New York will clear the rest of the necessary cap space and whether the Mavs can work a sign and trade to recoup assets. So it's still going to take some work to do to fit him. Now, does this move the needle? I don't know. You tell me. You follow. You know, we talked about it. Was it like 16, 17 a game? He said it was better, obviously, when Doncic was out, but no, it makes the Knicks better for sure, but does it put them with the Brooklyn Nets, who now have Kyrie and KD back, the Sixers, the Celtics, who are the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Bucks, who just won a championship 5 minutes ago? So it puts them in the playoffs, but does it do anything other than that?
This is what I find so difficult about it, is like Brunson's definitely a good player. Definitely. But if they don't make any other big moves next year, they run everything back that they had plus Jalen Brunson. How different a team is this? Like, Andrew, I know you're a Brunson fan. Do you think he's good enough that with just the addition of Jalen Brunson, the Knicks are instantly a much better team next season?
I would say playoff team.
Yeah.
Whether or not, like, if you say a much better team, meaning what they were 2 years ago, no, I wouldn't say that. I don't think they'd have a home series in the first round. But, I mean, look, they're gambling on his trajectory. Like, if you look at his career stats, every year he's gotten better. This year he took a big jump, especially when Doncic was out, like you just pointed out. So he'd be more focal. in the Knicks offense. So they're kind of just pushing their cards to the center of the table that he'll keep growing like that. RJ Barrett will keep growing the way he did this past season, and that they have like their young core at the one and the two, and they're going to just build around that.
But how do you build when they'll probably be right up against it? Like all their cap space will be gone, right?
Well, they're going to need things like, I mean, look, they're going to have to get a little bit lucky in, like, Obi Toppin is going to have to be a player. Like, he's going to have to be more than just a seventh man. He'll have to be a starter in the NBA. You know, things like that. Julius Randle will have to rebound and maybe not be exactly what he was 2 years ago, but, like, at least have his three-point shooting uptick enough where he resembles that guy somewhat. So, like, yeah, if they're going to improve significantly, they're going to kind of have to get lucky, it feels like, in a lot of ways.
And how often does that happen for this team, where everything breaks their way?
Don, I have an answer for you, in case you're curious. Never.
Now, that should not stop them from doing what they think is best for their team.
Right.
But if everything goes the way Andrew said, Brunson is a perfect fit, Toppin becomes special, Barrett continues to progress, what's the ceiling? Playoffs? One and done? Four seed? Maybe get to the second round? I'm not saying that that's not important, because we saw how the Knicks fans reacted when they were able to do that. They took to the streets when one playoff
bong.
Game.
Bing bong!
But does that now lead to something to where, if it doesn't work out in Philadelphia, the Bucks get older, Celtics ended up being just kind of a flash in the pan, Nets are going to be done after this year because maybe Kyrie is going to, you know, become a free agent, leave, and then KD will follow him. Will the Knicks be ready to take that next step and be the next great team with this move? I'm not telling you that it's the wrong move. I'm not telling you that they shouldn't do it. But what's the end game here? What's the ceiling for it? It doesn't sound to me like there's much more than what we had 2 years ago.
Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-919-3776. Again, Yankees, Mets on the table. We're going to talk to Buster only in just a few about both, get some updates on the Mets injuries, talk Aaron Judge contract. But right now we go to Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good, man.
Good, good. Yeah, so just listening, hearing about Jalen, you know, potentially signing for $100 million with the Knicks. I did some research, saw some tweets a couple days ago. If you see who actually is getting paid about $25 to $30 million a year, I mean, there's the Mike Conleys who are pushing 40 years old. A lot of NBA players, so it's pretty much the modern-day contract this year. So without giving him a max contract, I think Jalen is a step in the right direction. I think it's worth it.
All right.
I tend to agree, frankly. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Mike. Like, if you really think about it, Don, getting that guy who's on the trajectory that Andrew was just speaking about, like grabbing a point guard who is 4 years in, has gotten consistently better, best season was last season, did well without his star player there. I how much are you saving? What's the amount? Yes, four at 100 over 4 years sounds crazy. What was the best case scenario? 80?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you were hoping? 4 years and 80?
No. Okay. He made a great point. This is the realistic amount you're going to have to pay for this player. It just I just got a little scared when I saw that they still can't fit it in. You know, so really, what are you doing other than drafting and just hoping the players you've already drafted become stars?
Right.
But, you know, this is the best you can do. Again, I'm not saying don't do it. You got to try to improve yourself. It's just frustrating if I'm a Knicks fan, even improving yourself. Are you still light years from where you want to be? At least the excitement of trading up to four, if they did that, well, then you could see, well, maybe there's a player that they're going to get that's going to just become a superstar. I mean, is Brunson going to get better? And if he does, how much better? Or is this what he is? And now you're hoping everybody else becomes better. I mean, how much better can Barrett be?
Cabernet Adams says, listening to Don LaGreca and Rosenberg Radio talk Knicks is once again painful.
All right, what do we do now?
Does Brunson move the needle? No, obviously, but it's a huge improvement. They have a ton of picks still. If they move on from Randall, they can afford a max contract next offseason. It's called building. Okay, but that's a lot of now ifs you're attaching to this. We're talking about what's the impact, right? Everyone wants the Knicks to make a move right now. I don't understand. You want to build forever, bro? You want to build forever?
I didn't criticize it. I just said it kind of is what it is. That's kind of what they've been. Now you got to get rid of Randall. And now the cap space. Michael K calls it air. All right, you got all this cap space. Are you going to convince anybody to come play here? Is Brunson and Barrett enough to say, boy, I want to play with those guys?
That's the thing. Is he enough? Is Jalen Brunson enough that with him and RJ Barrett and moving Randall's contract, other people go, oh my God, I want to be there? Because otherwise, yeah, it's all air. What are you really saying when you throw out the word? It's called building. That just really gets my goat. It's called building. They've been building since 1973. So people have born. They've been born, Don. They lived an entire life, okay? People had entire lives and have died. They've left us, Don. Sadly, in that time, people have been born and died Knicks fans. They never got anything. At what point do you get sick of it and say, we want to see them make a move that is impactful right now, the way other real teams do?
But I'm not even saying that because I don't know what the move is to make. And I'm not criticizing the move, and this is the move to make. And Adams is right that, hey, it's a huge improvement. I'm just saying the frustration Knicks fans have to have because the Nets are going to be competing for a championship this year. And you made a nice move to improve from being a team that was out of the playoffs to maybe what, being a play-in or maybe being a sixth seed and done in the first round? And then you get rid of Randall and then you open up a free agent. What free agent? Who are you going to get? And draft picks. You got seven draft picks over the next 3 years. What are they going to become? So you're living in the now and hoping that you improve. And yes, the Brunson deal will improve them to possibly be a playoff team. What you were 2 years ago and then one and done again. So I'm just saying that's frustrating. What is it going to take for this team to finally be able to do something to where they can become a great team? That's all we're asking. So it's not anybody's fault necessarily. Just right now, it's just got to be frustrating that this is the move. On a day where Kyrie stays in Brooklyn and you've got Brunson and the ceiling is maybe a 60. And cap space and picks and hopefully it'll pan out.
Listen, Brunson is – I think this is the move. I think this is the move. But I'm just saying I don't know that I can back everything up with the proper contract and cap space talked on. But right now, after the season that they had, the NBA draft just happened. And the best thing we're talking about that's possible for them is getting Jalen Brunson. I'm not saying it's not an improvement, but I'm sorry, guys. It's not enough of an improvement.
No,
I'm a Celtics fan. Do you think I'm going to start sweating the Knicks? Is that what you think? So it's not that it's not a good move, Don, but to get defensive as a fan and say it's called building, that's all you've been doing unsuccessfully forever.
That's why I wish he called instead of tweeted. Like, it's painful. How are we supposed to celebrate this?
Oh, my God.
Like, how are we supposed to compliment? He admitted in the tweet, does it move the needle? No. Oh, how often do you sit there and praise a non-needle-moving move? It is what it is. It's a nice move. It'll improve them. Okay, move on. It just you feel like you're battling with mediocrity here, and I just think this fan base deserves more than to be celebrating a non-needle-moving move. I don't know how we're supposed to express our joy over this possible transaction, which, by the way, didn't happen yet because they still can't fit what looks to be a reasonable move under the cap. They're still going to have to shred some salary or have work it out with Dallas. And then he's talking about getting rid of Randall, which, by the way, is still your best player, who you're still going to have to replace, which means what exactly are you going to do next year if Randall's not a part of the program and you don't use that cap space to sign anybody?
Well, Don, don't worry. They're going to get rid of Randall. and they're going to use that cap space to sign a massive player. You know, just like they did recently when...
Oh.
I'm sorry.
But that's the frustrating thing, man. I'm actually feeling for Knicks fans, right? I'm not even criticizing the organization.
I'm not trying to badmouth them. I'm not trying to badmouth Knicks fans. You guys are, I think, the most loyal fan base in the city. And by the way, be excited about Jalen Brunson. I think he could be a great player. I'm not mad at the move. Just, I mean, you want us to have a ticker tape parade that they got a serviceable? Someone, another angry tweet. This is the best point guard they've had since Steph Marbury. Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's... Oh, wow.
Well, who are we comparing?
Yay! All we could do is go through a list of over-the-hill great players. Jason Kidd, Derrick Rose. You could go one by one and name the great over-the-hill players who came here. But that, you're right. That's good.
He speaks French because he's from France.
I'm glad if they can get Brunson, if they can figure it out, I do think it's good news. To me, the question for Knicks fans is, how excited does it make you? I'd love to hear from the biggest Jalen Brunson fan in the world who calls us and goes, dude, you have no idea what you're getting. This guy's going to change everything. That would be amazing. And obviously a lot hinges on R.J. Barrett, his ability to continue to improve next year. Sure. I thought he took a marked step forward last season. I really do. I think R.J. Barrett upped his game. What he needs to do is do that 75 nights a year. Because he was really great, I felt like, Don, around 40 nights last year. 1-800-919-3776. Buster Olney next. He has some very interesting insight on the Aaron Judge contract situation. We'll also talk some Mets with him as well. ENN at 6. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Jay in the Bronx. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Listen, the Knicks should not get Jalen Brunson. He's a small shooting guard who took advantage of Mike Conley and Chris Paul. And he's too expensive for them. They should get Colin Sexton. He's cheaper, he's bigger, he's a better defender, and he's a more explosive scorer. That's the guy they need to get. And he will change life, trust me. He's a good player, but he could be great. That's the guy.
Interesting call. Let's take a look here on the comp on Colin Sexton.
Who was it that a caller had yesterday that was also an alternative to Brunson? Murray.
That was a very convincing call yesterday as well. And it's weird because it doesn't feel like the only name we're hearing around the Knicks is Brunson. And if you look at Sexton, last year, 16 points, 2 assists. The year before that, 24 points, 3 assists. The year before that, 21 and 3 assists.
No, he's a better scorer for sure.
Yeah, so the scoring part is real. Shot terribly from three last year, 24%.
That's an issue.
His 3-point shooting has gone down his entire career. This is Colin Sexton's 3-point shooting year by year. 402, 380, 371, 244. That gives me some pause.
There you go.
Although last year he didn't play very much, so he was hurt. Back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, good afternoon, Don and Peter. Thank you for having me. First-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Hey, listen, I agree with the previous caller somewhat. We need a point guard. We ended the year with Alex Burke as our point guard. It did not make anybody on the team better. If you think about it, so the beginning of the season, we were doing pretty good when everybody was healthy. We had a Derrick Rose. We had, they were making other players better. We need a point guard. It's not a flashy. Brunson is not flashy. It's not the best. It's not a superstar. But if he's going to make the youth better, because we need to develop the youth, I believe that is a move that we need to make. We're not going anywhere without a point guard. We need to make the youth better.
We're
that should be
about
the end
yes,
game.
The John Boy guys are handling the batting practice show. We should mention that on Yes. That'll be coming up in seconds on the television side. But I had mentioned that last week, Peter, when we heard about Brunson. Just decent point guard play. Look how much better they were when Rose was healthy. And he was the old man with a bad knee. But all they just needed was somebody with a pulse at point guard. So this is clearly an upgrade.
Listen, there's no question that any of the directions we're talking about are an upgrade. Because last year they were trying to sew together, with all due respect, older gentlemen whose bodies were no longer capable.
Right.
In Derrick Rose's case, his play was still good. It's just his body's broken down. In the case of Kemba Walker, it seems like a combination of both. So, yeah, Don, comparatively, you would think this circumstance, regardless of where they go, is going to be an improvement. The question is it enough? And is it worth $100 million and doing whatever they have to do to get to the point where they can even make it happen, books-wise?
And we're going to ask the question on Twitter, why would they have to replace Randle? Well, he's your best player. You may not have to get exactly Randle, but you're going to have to replace that production somewhere. Is Brunson going to make up for the point guard and what Randle gives you? Is Barrett going to make that big of a jump to compensate? I Randle may not have had the year he had 2 years ago. He's still their best player. So they may not have to replace him with the same player, but where do they get that production?
It's a tough spot. Can I be honest with you, Don? I don't feel great about the Knicks next year. No matter what they do.
Bing bong!
I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, the great thing, it's not going to take much to get this fan base excited, which gets us excited because it's so much fun when this team is good.
No, it won't take much.
We would like it to be more often and better.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have the Knicks on our air. So them
that was magical 2 years ago as a four seed and what, one playoff win. So imagine what this town would be like if this team was what the net fan is feeling right now.
Well, we'll get more into this and some of the ins and outs of the Knicks situation and do a lot more next on ENN, a Ray-Row-only vehicle.
Ray-Row.
Right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.